This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of importance to Europeans and people of European descent, wherever they may live and dwell upon the earth. And certainly this broadcast is also important for all people because we have a common problem. That problem is called Jewish supremacism. It's called Jewish extremism. It's not simply the problem of the state of Israel in terms of the Palestinians. It's a problem for America. It's a problem for Europe. It's a problem for the Middle East. It's a problem for the world. It's a problem that could lead us, in fact, to a new world war, and the Jewish extremists, the so-called neocons, are advocating precisely that. And they are trying to restrict freedom all over the world. As you know, I have lectured and been a part of the university in Ukraine called the Interregional Academy of Personnel Management, MAUP. It's actually a misnomer because the university, that academy, is the umbrella for a multi-university system which exists in the framework of MAUP. And that system includes law school, medicine, many other areas of higher education. In fact, the school now boasts over 50,000 students, making it the largest university in Ukraine. It has UNESCO certification, European certification, and the highest certification for the nation of Ukraine, 50,000 students. It is a major institution. And Israel has recently demanded that this university be shut down, be closed down. In fact, all the degrees revoked for years, simply because the professor, Georgi Shokin, the head of the university, has endeavored to take an anti-Israel, anti-Zionist position, sponsoring an international anti-communist and anti-Zionist conference in Ukraine. And Israel doesn't like this. And they literally have demanded that the university be closed, and even more importantly, that the Conservative Party, which Professor Shokin has begun, that this party be shut down as well. Well, the recent news, and I'm going to read you from a news report, and I can't verify how accurate the report is. Again, our enemies control so much of the news distribution around the world. That's why this program is so important. We have a few things to discuss today that are certainly very important to all of us. And the source is NAN. And it says that Ukrainian Conservative Party, Freedom Party, to contest its first elections. The Ukrainian Conservative Party, led by Professor Georgi Shokin, the rector of the Interregional Academy of Personnel Management, MAUP, has been given the go-ahead by that country's Central Election Commission to contest the general election held on March 26, as has the more radical Freedom Party, following a legal to and fro. MAUP is known for repeated calls for the United Nations to withdraw its 1947 resolution on the establishment of the State of Israel. Shokin's leaflet, Personnel Plus, which is distributed freely across Ukraine, by the way, it's not a leaflet, that is a very beautiful, glossy magazine, openly backed recent anti-Israeli statements by Iranian President Mohammad Ahmadinejad. And I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, but that's life. I don't watch much television, so I don't hear the pronunciations that a lot of people hear. I listen to very little radio and television, so excuse me if my pronunciations are sometimes wrong in terms of personnel names. Shokin believes that all Ukrainian bodies of power should consist of at least 80% ethnic Ukrainians, that Jews should be barred from top positions, and only ethnic Ukrainians should be eligible to be elected head of state. It's pretty much the way it is in Israel, isn't it? We all know that to be a fact. But if Ukrainians have the same kinds of policies that Israel has for Jews, you know the situation. You know the double standard there. Several CEC members voted against the UCP's registration, but the majority of the body decided that the party should be allowed to run in the election. Well, if you have a democracy, you have a freedom of speech situation, and you have a free electoral process, every party certainly should be allowed to run. The CEC, however, suspended the registration of the Radical Freedom Party of Olaf Tanabok. The CEC also suggested that the Justice Ministry turn into the Supreme Court the issue to order to forbid Freedom from running for parliament. According to the CEC, several points in Freedom's program contradicted the Constitution, particularly the provisions calling for a ban on communist ideology, for approving a new law on citizenship that would prohibit people who are not Ukrainian-born and not ethnic Ukrainian from attaining citizenship, and for restoring the Soviet practice of marking ethnic background on passports. The Justice Minister, however, decided that there was nothing wrong with Freedom's documents and requested that the CEC register Freedom. The presence of these parties in the election is bound to cause some embarrassment for President Viktor Yushchenko's Our Ukrainian bloc because of their past associations. Now, why should that cause a problem? Yushchenko once sat on MOP's board, and Foreign Minister Boris Tishchenyuk, one of Ukraine's leaders, was honorary director of one of MOP's subdivisions until last year. Yushchenko resigned from MOP several years ago following MOP's criticism of Baha'i Jewish organizations. That's right, Israel criticizes the university, and boy, the president's got to resign from it. Unlike the UCP, Freedom used to be part of Our Ukraine, and Freedom leader took positions as a pro-Yushchenko member of parliament. And so it goes on. Israeli diplomats have on several occasions expressed their dismay over Shokin's activities. Shokin's anti-Semitic positions were reportedly among the reasons behind the U.S. reluctance to cancel the Jackson-Varick Amendment in relation to Ukraine. The U.S. Congress approved the amendment restricting trade in 1975 to punish the USSR for discrimination against Jews. Now, that is another interesting fact, ladies and gentlemen, that apparently here's this, the president of a university in Ukraine, because he took some positions opposed to Israel, that this was reportedly among the reasons behind the U.S. reluctance to cancel the Jackson-Vanik Amendment in relation to Ukraine. So basically, we were basically telling Ukraine that if you have a university president that opposes Israel, that we're going to really make it difficult for you to trade with the United States of America. Isn't that interesting? Typical. Who controls this country? It's certainly not the American people. It's not American interest. You know, it has been American policy to support Ukraine. One reason, because Ukraine has gone against Moscow in many ways, and so America supports it. But simply because there's a university pressure, a president who dares to talk about and criticize Israel, they're trying to use this as a lever to get Ukraine to take repressive actions against Freedom, against this university. Really an incredible situation. Well, we wish Professor Shokin every bit of luck with the new Ukrainian Conservative Party, and we certainly hope and expect the party to have a very good reaction and a very good support in the electoral process and win a number of seats. I really hope that the party does well, and I will do my best to help and advise them in certain areas and give them some electoral coaching. We've had a lot of experience with it here in the United States. Of course, I received over 60% of the European American vote in my races here, and hopefully I can be of some, you know, very good assistance for them and give them some valuable information on elections. And I will certainly be willing to do that, and will try to help in any way that I can with some advice. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Let me talk about some of the more of the issues here, and we are definitely broadcasting again. We had a little break in our broadcast stream. These things happen, but that's the way things go. First, I want to talk to you about an issue that's come up, and I did have some prior programs talking about the cost of the Iraq War, how it's going to affect the United States of America in terms of our economy, and I've already talked about the enormous human cost of the war, the 2,200 Americans who've died because of this conflict, and the over 16,000 by government figures, and I think it's more into the 20s, over 20,000 Americans who suffered serious injuries. The United States military, through the Pentagon, says that about a third, approximately 30% of the American military personnel in Iraq are suffering serious mental problems and need care on returning to America within 6 months of returning to America. The war is exacting a tremendous cost in many, many ways on the American people. Well, recently, a Nobel Prize-winning economist, Joseph Stiglitz, and a Harvard lecturer, Linda Bilmes, has concluded that the Iraq War is projected to cost the American people, the American taxpayer to be precise, over $2.6 trillion. Now, you heard me correctly. That's $2.6 trillion. You can get the document and the data on this information on the David Duke website, www.davidduke.com. Now, $2.6 trillion, that's the cost even if America completely withdraws from Iraq within 4 years. It doesn't take into account many years drawn out or escalating conflict. The horrendous loss of over 2,200 American lives and over 16,000 crippled or maimed Americans is enough reason for all true American patriots to re-examine this insane war that's only making America more hated and vulnerable to terrorism. It's causing tens of millions of people around the world to hate America with a passion that they would even be willing to sacrifice their lives to get at us. The costs of the war have previously only dealt the official cost with direct military costs, and they've not associated the costs that come with the conflict. For instance, the estimates never address the long-term medical care of tens of thousands of American veterans of Iraq. For instance, the Pentagon's figures show that over 30% of returning Iraq veterans have mental health problems requiring long-term care. The economists have projected these costs and other associated costs with the Iraq War, and they have projected a total cost of over $2.6 trillion. Now, even their most conservative estimate, is over $1 trillion. That's right, over $1 trillion. To get an idea of how much of America's national treasure $2.6 trillion is, consider that the entire yearly budget of the United States government is less than $2.6 trillion. Consider that the federal government spends only $69 billion on education. That's right, $69 billion on education. Yeah, U.S. government spends $259 billion total on health, $293 billion total on Medicare, $516 billion total on Social Security. That's Social Security, of course, for tens of millions of American retirees and disabled. Now, if you look at the figure for the Iraq War, these figures are absolutely dwarfed. It's just an insane waste of American money, and one based on lies. Consider that saving $2.6 trillion would enable the deepest tax cuts in American history for the hard-pressed working people of America. Consider that. Consider that $2.6 trillion would finance the entire university education of every American college student for years to come. Consider the fact that it would provide every working American with complete medical insurance for years to come. The Jewish extremist neocons in government and media have lied America into this war for Israel at a huge cost to every productive American. Now, this insane expenditure comes at a time when record numbers of tax-paying Americans are going bankrupt, when tens of millions of working, tax-paying Americans cannot afford medical insurance for their families, when businesses are failing because of high taxes and high gas and energy prices, when college students simply cannot afford higher education and are mortgaging their futures with huge tuition loans that they may never be able to repay. And by U.S. law now, they can't even escape those loans in bankruptcy. In other words, if a college student borrows huge amounts of money to go to university, which you have to today for many of the leading universities in our country, and ends up with a debt of hundreds of thousands of dollars, if he can't get a job because of outsourcing or insourcing, as the American economy is now doing and the government's now sponsoring, he's saddled with a huge debt that will destroy his productive ability for years to come. And he can't even escape that debt with bankruptcy. The facts about the true cost of this insane war should be on the front pages of every American newspaper. It should be the lead story on every national news broadcast. The question is, why is this story not on those media outlets? The answer to that question will explain many more aspects of our failed national and international government policies. And the answer lies in the fact that the so-called American media should rightly be called the Israeli media, in that it's dominated by Jewish extremists. Check out my article, Who Runs the Media, on davidduke.com. The usual suspects are leading our country to disaster, not only in the Iraq War, but in immigration policy and on many other issues of vital importance to the American people. Learn the facts here on davidduke.com. And again, go to stormfront.org, the town hall section, where we broadcast our program. And ladies and gentlemen, it's really great to be able to be on the air with you again and reaching you on these vital issues that all of us must discuss and must face. Now, I believe this article that I recently posted on the cost of the Iraq War, I think it's an absolute vitally important article that we need to spread around the country. Some people are only affected by their pocketbook. And when you consider this huge cost, $2.6 trillion, at the minimum $1 trillion, and certainly much more, and that's if we get out of Iraq in the next 4 years, and there's no guarantee that the neocons who are leading and controlling our media and country will even allow that kind of escape from Iraq to take place. The Iraq War is damaging this country vitally, and it's a patriotic thing to be opposed to this war, because this war is not in the interest of the United States of America. It's not in the interest of our American soldiers who are over there fighting and dying and being maimed and crippled and blinded. Not for America's interest, but for Israel. The war was a lie from the beginning. As we all know now, there's no doubt about it. I was saying that from the beginning, one of the few voices saying it. Now many people know that. But now they've switched the pace. And they said, now that we've gone there, we've got to be there. They say that we're fighting there for democracy. We're going to bankrupt this country to try and bring democracy, which is a very, very tenuous proposition anyway. All evidence in Iraq shows that the country is probably headed toward civil war. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are moving toward disaster in Iraq, and not only is it costing the lives of so many Americans, it is certainly leading our own country toward bankruptcy. I'll be back with you tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please take that article on the cost of the Iraq War, spread it all over the internet. I'm asking you to do that, and email it to your friends, and the links for that article to your friends, it's on davidduke.com, and I know some of my friends on Stormfront will take that article and post it on Stormfront as well. I do look forward to talking with you again tomorrow, and hopefully we'll have a better connection. I hope to have a high-speed connection again by then, so we shouldn't have any more of the breaking up that we've experienced somewhat in this program the last couple of days. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Until tomorrow, God bless you, and take care. This is David Duke. This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.